This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Tyler in for Nick Sciarra here on ESPN 97.5. Going through a lot of fun stuff today, the Houston Sports Torch list. Who had it at the front? Where has it been passed around? Who's been the best athlete in Houston over the course of all these many years? That's kind of what I'm going through in honor of Drew Brees giving his Sports Torch to Zion Williamson. As Drew Brees at the end, Zion starting. I was trying to go through the history of Houston sports. So I want you guys to weigh in, 713-780-3776 on the text line, the HRMP listener line as well. You can also tweet me, at @Cody_Stutz on Twitter. So to recap where we are now, and someone tweeted that at some point Jimmy Wynn's got to be in there. And look, didn't see Jimmy Wynn play. I sort of leaned football heavy early. But to recap where we are, we're basically in the late 80s. Andre Ware's just won the Heisman, so he's had the Sports Torch for 1 year. And then Hakeem takes it back. To get to that point, Blanda, Bethea, Culp, Dr. Doom, Bill Yeoman in the mid-70s with the Cougars teams, Earl Campbell until 81, Nolan Ryan for a year, Moses Malone for a year, Nolan Ryan again, Ralph Sampson for a hot minute, then Hakeem until Andre wins the Heisman, and then Hakeem covering up a ton of good stuff, a ton of Oilers stuff, covers up a ton of Astros stuff, covers up a ton of Cougar stuff. Like, Hakeem had the Sports Torch for a long time, more than Bagwell's MVP year. Biggio was really good those years too. More than whatever the Cougars were doing, more than Warren Moon and company over at the Astrodome. And Hakeem had it until right after the run, right after the second championship, and then Bagwell took over. And I'm going to make an argument that may annoy some people. I feel like Bagwell always had it and Biggio never had it. Every year, Bagwell seemingly was better statistically than Biggio. And I know Biggio was kind of the heart and soul, the leader guy. But Bagwell was everybody's favorite. He finished higher in all the MVP races. There was 1 year he kind of had a down year, and Biggio was really good that year. But to me, Bagwell had it the entire time. And when he turned it over, he didn't turn it over to Biggio. And so Craig never had it. The Sports Torch for Houston, so to speak, in this hypothetical fairy tale land. So my guy that Bagwell turns it over to is Lance Berkman. So we've gone from legends of the game. Blanda, Bethea, Culp, Dr. Doom, Earl Campbell, Nolan Ryan, Moses Malone, Hakeem. And there have been some guys who aren't legendary, just very good. Ralph Sampson, Andre Ware. Bagwell is a legend. He's one of the best first basemen to ever play baseball. And now it's Berkman. And you're like, okay, hold on. Really? Berkman? I went and looked at the stats. Lance killed it. Right around the turn of 2000, right when they got to Minute Maid. Like, Lance was really damn good. Like, I think we forget how good Berkman was for a good stretch. Berkman was the dude, and then Lance handed it over to Roger Clemens. So Roger Clemens had it for a couple years, and then hands it back to Berkman. And then that's where it got really hard. Like, post-Clemens, there was a stretch where you couldn't find anybody and be like, that's the guy that's leading the charge for Houston sports. That's the dude in Houston sports. Like, it was a really weird stretch. So I said Berkman again after Roger. And then I got to looking at it. Yao had it for like 2 years. Yao was the Sports Torch carrier for like 2 years.
Now, are you counting only athletes?
Oh, are you saying like maybe an owner or a front office guy?
Like maybe McNair around the time that Berkman had it.
So it's tough because I counted Yeoman as the coach for the Cougars. I mean, you could make a solid argument that between Bagwell and Berkman, you give it to McNair for a couple years.
For a year or
because he brought football back.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a solid argument there that McNair is the guy. That's a good one, actually. So Roger Clemens, Lance Berkman, then Yao has it for like 2 years. And then listen to this name. What if I told you for a good stretch, the athlete playing the best, that was the most impressive athlete, that was just like must-watch television.
Can I try and guess?
Guess.
Baseball?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Roy, but...
This was like kind of the back end of Roy's time with the Stros.
Okay.
So this is about... Let me get the exact date for you. This is like late 2000. It's like 2009, 2010, 2011 type area.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh.
So it's right after Yao's career is pretty much finished up. You're gonna be like, what? I don't believe this. But I'll say that he had it for 09, 10, and 11. Case Keenum. Keenum was one of the hottest names in college football. The Cougars were one of the hottest teams in college football. And Case freaking Keenum was carrying the sports torch for about 3 years. 3 years. He held it as long, maybe, as you could say Nolan Ryan held it. Like, that's incredible. Case Keenum, when he was throwing for 5,000 yards and, 44 touchdowns and 48 touchdowns. Like, the dude had it for a good solid 3 years.
Were those, like, his fifth, sixth, and seventh years in college?
Yeah. That was, like, his double doctorate.
Or four, five, six, whatever.
Yeah, his double doctorate years.
It
certainly was. So from Keenum, you hand it over to Andre Johnson. And then this one was kind of splitting hairs because you can say Andre or you can say Arian Foster for like a year or two. And I'd be willing to give them both a run for it. You know, give them both a turn. 1 year for Andre, 1 year for Arian. But Andre went for like 1,500 yards 1 year and was a freaking monster.
Yeah.
So I feel like he had it. And then Watt had it for a good stretch. 2012, 2013, he kept it even though the team stunk. 2014, he was fantastic. 2015, he was fantastic. So Watt had it for a good stretch there. Watt turns it over to Harden. Harden turns it over to Altuve, who quickly turns it over to Springer. Back to James Harden because he wins the MVP. And my claim that now the torch carrier, the guy with the torch right now, this moment in Houston, is Alex Bregman. Do we have any argument that it's currently Bregman? I will listen to Verlander. But it's not Altuve, it's not Springer, it's not Cole, it's not Harden, it's not any of the Texans, but Deshaun's about to have it.
Deshaun's about to take it, yeah.
Deshaun's about to have it when Deshaun wins the MVP this year.
You don't think Hopkins has had it at all?
Hopkins coincided with Harden's run and the Astros World Series.
Yeah.
So it's tough to give it to DeAndre at some point.
Yeah. Did JJ get it back during Harvey, at least for like that that month after?
For the couple of weeks, he like took it. It was like a little like interim run.
Yeah.
And then gave it back. That's a good point. Yeah, JJ for the Harvey stuff. So that's my quest through Houston sports history of the torchbearers at different times. And I know people are going to hit the text line, 713-780-3776, and they're going to say a couple of guys from Houston did some great things, but these guys did stuff in Houston. Like, I know George Foreman's associated with Houston. George Foreman went and did it away from Houston. Like, he didn't fight at the Astrodome every time he fought. So boxers are tough to do. Foyt's tough to do. Because, again, it's not like he raced every race in Houston. You know what I mean? Like, he's from Houston, but inside the city carrying the torch. Like, I'm stuck mostly to the Cougs, the Oilers, the Texans, the Rockets, and the Astros.
I think even with boxing, like, even with, like, the Charlo brothers now, Like, if one of them gets the fight that he's looking for against Canelo or Golovkin or whatever, then and he wins, I still think that's going to go largely unnoticed by
most of Houston.
Most of Houston sports fans.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's I don't want to say that I'm just like ignoring those guys. Like I was thinking about, okay, can I link it up with George Foreman's run as the champ? Like, how many times did Foreman fight in Houston? How many races did Foyt race in Houston? You know, other boxers, how many times did they box in Houston? Like, it's just really hard to link it up like that because they didn't do, like, the Astros play every year in Houston, the Rockets, the Texans, the Oilers, like, they every year. So that one's good. Tyler, you added some good ones in there. A couple of a McNair in there at the turn of the 2000s and, you know, a Watt for the Harvey stuff. But again, with the injury, quickly turns that over to,
yeah,
you know, whoever's next. I say it's Bregman right now. I'll listen to Verlander. I'd listen to Harden, and I'd listen to Deshaun next year. But I think it's Bregman right now.
I think you're right about Bregman.
So now the question is, how long can he hold on to it? Because if they win the World Series, he hangs on to it through that. And then,
if he does what Springer did,
sure,
during the 17 World Series.
That's the thing with the baseball guys is they're so good right now, they can just trade it off.
Yeah, they're just going back and forth.
All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed that experiment. 7137.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel and Barry. Tyler is in for Nick Sciarra. It is The Usual Suspects here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to call or to text. A couple texts in as we were talking about the Houston sports torch and who it got passed to and from throughout the course of history. So somebody texted in, and there was two names that I didn't get to that they texted in that I thought were actually really good and definitely deserve consideration. The first one's Warren Moon, who was amazing for the Oilers and threw for almost 4,700 yards twice in 90-91. So if you want to slide Warren Moon right after Andre Ware, and right before Hakeem takes it again, I think that's a worthy conversation to have. I just think Hakeem was so damn good, and they were seemingly in it every single year with him there, that that's why I think Warren kind of got covered up. Like, think about the guys that got covered up for a good stretch. Biggio, Warren Moon, Rudy T. Like, a lot of guys got covered up. The other name this texter put in was Bum Phillips. Bum's a tough one because I went with the player. I went with Earl. So I said Earl Campbell instead of Bum. And then shortly after Earl and Bum's run, I said Nolan. So it's, you're kind of, I mean, maybe there's a year where you could say, okay, well, Earl Campbell wasn't that great. So it's, you give it to Bum because the Oilers were amazing. I wasn't alive for that run. So somebody who has a little bit more history, and maybe that's a little bit more research I do. I think, Tyler, what I have on my hands is a very large sports map article.
Yeah, you do.
I just don't know what year to start. I think you start with the Oilers AFL championship and go from there. And then yeah, you go current.
Colt 45s were, what, 65?
Sounds about right. That's about the same time.
Yeah.
And then the Rockets got here much later because they were in San Diego first.
Might be able to do Hoffines as the very first one.
Okay. Wow, that's actually a good starting point. Yeah.
And then just kind of work your way from there.
Roy Hoffines as the torch lighter.
Because he started the Astrodome.
Right.
And, I mean, he's got his name everywhere, so
it's a good call. I think that's a great starting point. You start with Hoffines. couple of people texted in or tweeted to me and said, hey, not nitpicking, but what about a time where you had Carl Lewis or Mary Lou Retton? Look, that's, you know, mid-80s or so, and that's a heavy Nolan Hakim era. But it's tough because, again, Carl didn't run all those races in Houston. Mary Lou didn't do all the flips and stuff in Houston. Like, I get that they're from Houston. That's a whole nother, who's the best athlete?
Yeah, if you're going to do that, then you got to add Simone Biles.
Yeah, and then it's Tara George Lipinski Foreman.
Because she practiced in Sugarland or whatever.
Yeah. Like, who's the best athlete from Houston every year ever? Like, okay, that's an interesting conversation. That's where Carl Lewis, Mary Lou Retton, George Foreman, like, that's where all that
comes
in.
That's where Springer and Altuve and all those guys aren't in the mix.
Right. But as far as on one of the big teams in town, someone said Brian Ching and the Dynamo. I love the Dynamo. They're fantastic. It's fun to go watch a game. The time when they were winning championships, I don't know that many people would have said, oh, Brian Ching and the Dynamo over, say, a Berkman or whoever else was the guy at the time. So that's kind of a tough one. And maybe I'm stretching a little bit with Case, but my God, the Astros were bad those years. The Texans weren't very good those years. And Case was amazing. Like, he was so good. So that would be, you know, my thing. Like I said, I think this is definitely a sports map thing in the future, which I'm sure Fred will be thrilled with. Fred, AJ, part of the Blitz. You'll be hearing them at 4 o'clock. Right now, though, you're going to hear the voice of Terry Bradshaw, as Terry Bradshaw makes each and every one of us very rich. Listen to Terry Bradshaw and what he had to say, and I'll explain why we all just got rich off this comment.
I never understood why players would want to go and stack up. Like Texas, we open up with Texas this year. And one year, they signed 3 5A quarterbacks. Two are now gone. And one that's playing, ain't that good. And I'm like, really? 5A? You watch them throw the football and you go, man, alive. What are they like? They go there and they can't throw the football. I'll take our boys any day.
What Mr. Bradshaw, the legendary quarterback, is trying to tell you there is 5-star, not 5A. 5-star quarterbacks. And Terry Bradshaw, of course, went to Louisiana Tech. In about 2 months' time, La Tech will travel to Austin to play the University of Texas. And with those words from Terry Bradshaw's mouth, he made us all very rich. Because we now know that the University of Texas is going to demolish Louisiana Tech to start the year. Just demolish. Think about who Terry Bradshaw just lit a fire under. King Petty Tom Herman, who was mocking Missouri players on the sidelines in a bowl game when his team ended up in some crappy bowl. And Sam Ellinger, who is on the radar of Baker Mayfield, and Baker hates him, and Kyler Murray, who the two number one overall picks the past 2 years in the NFL draft, Sam Ellinger owns real estate in their brains. And Terry Bradshaw's trying to talk trash about him? What are you doing, TB? You're setting those Bulldogs up for a slaughter. By the way, Jamar Smith, who played most of the games at quarterback for the Bulldogs last year, just over 3,100 yards passing, 15 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Ellinger last year with a whopping 3,292 and another 600 on the ground, 25 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. So, no, Terry, you wouldn't take your boys over Ellinger. Ellinger. It's Ellinger. And so, with Bradshaw bringing that up, I thought we'd do a couple of college football win totals. So, if you got a team, your squad, I'm going to do the Texas team, so I'm going to do LSU. We'll do some college football win totals, because those came out in the past 24 hours or so. Get to some of those. And look, we're going to get rich on Texas week one. There's a win total for a school in Texas where we're going to get double rich. If the government's not going to forgive your student loan debt, I got the solution for you, baby. Okay, just stick around. I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminek, HRMP Listener Line 713.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminek with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Cody Stutes in for Joel and Barry. Joel's on family vacation, seeing the mouse. Barry is in Arkansas. We'll stand up for him. And you are going to Social Distortion. The punk rockers of Social Distortion and Flogging Molly are kicking off their co-headlining tour at Revenge Music Center on August 14th. And we, ESPN 97.5, want to send you to see the show. Caller number 12. Caller number 12 to 713-780-3776. Caller number 12 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see Social Distortion and Flogging Molly at Revenge Music Center Wednesday, August 14th. If you don't win them, you can buy them at livenation.com. Social Distortion, Flogging Molly, the co-headlining tour, Revenge Music Center, August 14th. If you're calling number 12 to 713-780-3776, you are going. All right, so Terry Bradshaw made us rich because Texas is going to absolutely maul Louisiana Tech to start the year. And I feel like I'll have to run these by Jerry Bowe at some point just to make sure that I'm not way off. But I feel good about Texas week one now. I mean, really, Terry Bradshaw, you're going to make Texas mad when the Bulldogs are coming to town? Really? What are we doing here? But some college football win totals got tossed up. The FanDuel Sportsbook this week released them. And there's some interesting numbers on here. So we'll go through the Texas schools. And then if you have a college that I don't get to that you want me to get to, text 713-780-3776 that we will get to. So a bunch of the win-loss totals for the Texas schools and some other relevant schools around here. And I'll go from, should I go big number to little number or little number to big number?
I think little to big.
Okay, we'll go little number to big number. All right, so some of the Texas schools here, little number to big number. UTSA, over under 2 wins. Boy, that's not fun. Rice, over under 2.5 wins. Also not fun. UTEP, over under 3 wins. Yeah, not good. Okay, now I'll get to the bigger schools here. My Texas Tech Red Raiders, over under 6.5 wins. Ooh, man. This hurts me to say, but I don't see how they're winning 7 games. I just don't see how they're winning 7 football games this year. I know they're bringing back a quarterback who's maybe going to end up as the best or second best quarterback in the Big 12, but I just don't see it. 7 games, new head coach, had a couple of guys leave, weren't that great last year. Now, they got some gimmies on the schedule to start the year, but then Big 12 play starts with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Baylor beat them last year. Baylor's not a gimme. Iowa State's better than them. They'll beat Kansas. West Virginia's tough. Kansas State's always tough. Beat TCU. That's still 5 if they win their non-conference and that. Yeah, I don't see how they're getting to 7. Man, that stinks. Tech was penciled in for 8-9 wins every year under Mike Leach. And it's just been chaos since Mike left. Tuberville was eh. Cliff was eh. I'm hesitant on the new guy, Matt Wells from Utah State. Baylor with 7, over under 7 for Baylor. I'd probably go over for Baylor, over 7. 7 feels like a good number.
I feel like I haven't even paid attention to Baylor in the past few years.
Baylor, not that bad right now.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. 7-6 last year. Can they replicate that? Their non-conference is not hard. Stephen F. Austin, UTSA, and Rice. Maybe you beat Texas Tech. There's four. Kansas is five. I could see it with Baylor. I could see it. TCU, 7.5. Don't see it. No idea who their quarterback is. No idea. And they just they had that nice little run outside the Big 12, got in the Big 12, had like one nice run in the Big 12. Just haven't figured it out since. Just not to the consistency level. The University of Houston Cougars, 7.5. Dana Holgorsen taking over as the head coach. The Houston Cougars, 7.5. Gosh, it feels like if they don't win eight games, it's going to be a disappointing season, doesn't it?
I still feel like that might be a little high.
You think that's a little high for them?
I mean, you're losing. You lost Ed Oliver. Do you still have Derek King?
And Derek King's back.
Yeah.
Dana's the dude.
Yeah.
Non-conference is hard. Non-conference. You start at Oklahoma.
Which, yeah, it's been going back and forth every year.
Prairie View, that's a win. And then Washington State at NRG Stadium in week three. And Wazoo's tough. Mike Leach is their guy. They're always going to be tough. Mike Leach is the coach.
And that's not a guarantee that it's going to be, quote-unquote, home game because
Wazoo travels well, and it's tough to get that many Cougar fans
exactly
at NRG Stadium.
Exactly. I like even whenever they played Oklahoma there, it was very much a mixed crowd.
Yeah. That's tough. That's real tough. 7.5 for the Cougars. I mean, I could see them losing two in non-con with Oklahoma, Washington State. Cincinnati seems to be tough every year. UCF seems to be tough every year. Memphis is tough every year. Navy is annoying. North Texas should be pretty good this year still. I'd probably take the under on the Cougs. I hate to say that. I love Dana Holgorsen there. I'd probably take the under on them. This one, I'm smashing the over, and I can't smash the over hard enough. Texas A&M, 7.5 wins. Sign me up for an A&M run this year. I love the Aggies this year. Jimbo there had time to put some kids in that he knows, that he likes, get his type of kids in there. They're bringing back their quarterback. They're bringing back a lot of those wide receivers. Losing some guys on defense, I get that. But they'll figure it out. Non-cons, Texas State, Lamar, UTSA. There's three right there.
That's three wins, yeah.
At Clemson, that's a tough one for the non-con. And then in the SEC, Arkansas, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss. Georgia's tough. Bama's tough. At LSU to end the year is going to be tough. Hammer the over on 7.5, though. They're bringing back the quarterback. Kellen Mond's back. Jimbo gets a lot out of these QBs. Even when the guy isn't a pro prospect, isn't a big-time name, Jimbo gets a ton out of those kids. And Mond has now had a long time to sit and absorb and soak up what Jimbo brings to the table as an offensive guy. Man, sign me up for 9, maybe 10 Aggie wins this year. 7.5 is super low. They must know something I don't. Jumping up to 9 for LSU.
Did A&M finish their expansion on their stadium too?
Good question. I think it's got to be pretty close to done, right?
Yeah. I feel like that might kind of help them out as well. A little home field advantage.
Worth noting when you want to tune into Texas A&M games on the radio.
Home of the Aggies, right here.
ESPN 97.5 is the place to do it. LSU 9, slam the under. Slam it. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I don't see it. Some good defenders leaving, some leaders leaving. The quarterback is not that good. Ed Orgeron's coaching for his job. Slam the under. Texas in the non-con. Utah State in the non-con. And then listen to this run they go on to finish the year. Mississippi State, Auburn, at Bama, at Ole Miss, Arkansas, Texas A&M. That's tough. They have to win 9 games? I feel like LSU's stacked every year, and I feel like they just disappoint. I don't see 9. Burrow's not that good. He's really not. He's really not. Now we're getting into the big numbers. 9.5 for the Texas Longhorns. 9.5 for UT. Well, we know they're beating La Tech to start this schedule. So, dub over La Tech. Who's the real challenger in the Big 12? Oklahoma's getting 4 new offensive linemen. 4 new starting offensive linemen and a new starting wide receiver. Texas didn't lose a ton. They lost some, but they didn't lose a ton. Their non-conference is Rice, La Tech, and LSU at home. They can beat LSU week 2. They can beat LSU. And then Oklahoma and Iowa State are their real challengers. Over 9.5. Feel pretty good about it. And then Oklahoma 10.5. Bang the under. I know Jalen Hurts is there, but 4 new starting offensive linemen. That's tough to overcome, even in a conference that doesn't play a ton of defense like the Big 12. But Oklahoma at 10.5, that's, I mean, CeeDee Lamb's fantastic. I think he's actually better than Hollywood Brown as a pro prospect. Their tight end's back, but still, 10.5 is huge. That's a huge amount of wins that a team who's replacing that much has to do. I don't see it. 4 new starting offensive linemen, both guards, both tackles, gone. Now, the center's an All-American every year for the rest of his time there, but 4 new offensive linemen, 2 guards, 2 tackles, that's tough. Can't do that. Lincoln Riley's amazing, but he's not magical, okay? And the law of averages works against them. 2 number one overall picks. The third guy's not going to be a number one overall pick again. Law of averages works against you. I'm not doing Kansas, text line. Colorado State, I saw a very small number for them. You're high on the Aggie number. They said some mean words too, but said that I was not high, like I'm high on their wins. Like, you're bleeping high if you think those are easy wins for the Aggies. This is kind of the comment they made on the text line. Colorado State, low number. Kansas, my personal one is 2. So if Les Miles can win more than 2 games, congratulations. You've had a fantastic season, Jayhawks. All right, 1 left to go. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number you want to call or text. And we got one more prize for you to win. You want to go to the movies? We can help you with that next here on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank, Barry Laminack here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Do you want to go to the movies? Yes, you do. You want to go watch a movie about when a mild-mannered Uber driver named Stu picks up a passenger who turns out to be a cop hot on the trail of a brutal killer. Stu's thrust into a harrowing ordeal where he desperately tries to hold on to his wits, his life, and his 5-star rating. Caller number 8. Call number 8 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of seats to a special advanced screening of Stuber starring Dave Bautista Tuesday, July 2nd, 7 p.m. at Edwards Greenway Plaza in theaters nationwide on July 12th. A pair of tickets to go see Stuber early, Bautista's new movie. Tuesday, July 2nd, 7 p.m. All you got to do is be call number 8 to 713-780-3776. 3776. That's 713-780-3776. Call number 8 is going to win those pair of tickets, the advanced screening to go see Stuber, the movie. The text line is none too pleased with me glossing over a couple of SEC teams as not difficult for Texas A&M, but difficult for LSU. Hey, you know why I said that? Because LSU's QB stinks. That's why I said that. Texas A&M guy doesn't stink. Okay? Burrow less than Mond. It's a fact. Who would Ed Orgeron want to be his quarterback? Joe Burrow or Kellen Mond? Well, that one's easy. He'd rather have Kellen Mond. That's why I glossed over some of those teams as easier opponents for A&M than for LSU. That's simply why I did that. Folks were hot on that one. And then I'm over here defending Rockets fans like, Eric Gordon's awesome. Like, yeah, he didn't really shoot that great from three, and in the playoffs he was pretty disappointing, but you guys keep telling me he's awesome. That's fine. That's fine. 713-780-3776 is the number to text. 713-780-3776 to text in. And let's see, final few minutes of the show. I did this on Charlie the other day, and I'll throw this out there for the folks who listen to The Usual Suspects. Barry will be back on Monday. I'll be back with Barry on Monday. Joel will still be on vacation, I'm assuming.
Nick will be back on Monday.
Nick will be back on Monday. Tyler's in for him today. So I threw this out on Charlie's show the other day in the last segment. 713-780-3776. Ask me almost anything. Whatever you want to know. My opinions on food. I eat a lot. I know where to get good food. I know how to make your food that's good even better. So ask me anything on food. Ask me anything Texans, Rockets, Astros, whatever you want to know. Sports map, the inner workings of how we do it. I'll spill the beans. That's fine. 713-780-3776 is the text line if you want to get it in. I got to do a spout. Spat? Spite? Spout?
Spat.
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 I got into a spat with Daniel Jeremiah today on Twitter. Lance's guy, Daniel Jeremiah. NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah. Almost a general manager slash almost front office guy in the NFL, but sticking with TV for now, Daniel Jeremiah. He put out a list of the division rankings in the NFL by QB talent. NFC North, NFC South were at the top. AFC West, NFC West. AFC North, and then the AFC South. And look, I love Deshaun Watson. I think he's fantastic. I don't love him as much as Chris Sims, who made him like the fourth best quarterback in football on a list the other day because it's summer list time. But I think Deshaun Watson's great. Andrew Luck is obviously great. Foles is something interesting. And Marcus Mariota is playing probably his last year of starting quarterback in the NFL. But I was looking at it, and it looks so strange to think that Baker Mayfield, Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton, and Lamar Jackson, that's not better than the four AFC South teams. And I tried to see it from Daniel Jeremiah's perspective, and I just couldn't. I just couldn't see it from his perspective. And the way he fired back, he was like, well, if you had to win a game tomorrow, who would you take, Watson or Baker? I think it's close. Well, one guy throws a ton of interceptions and one guy doesn't. So I'd take Deshaun Watson. Like, can we all cool the brakes on Baker Mayfield a little bit? Like, he's got to get coached up and got to get better before he's actually what we think he's going to be. And just because Odell and Landry and Joku are on that team doesn't mean that he can't throw interceptions still. The guy had an interception percentage of almost 3 last year. You know who has the interception percentage of almost 3? Ben Roethlisberger, who regularly leads the NFL in interceptions. You know who had one of less than 1.5? Deshaun Watson, who cleaned up his interception problems in his second year. In fact, I think he threw like one interception in the last 10 games or so. He only had 8. He threw 8 in like 6 games as a rookie. He had 8 all of last year. And like, they needed him to throw. It's not like they just didn't throw. So give me Watson over Baker. Luck, Big Ben, choose your flavor. Some people would say Big Ben. I'd take Luck in that conversation. And then Mariota versus Lamar Jackson. Well, one's rough at quarterback, and the other one's a running back playing quarterback. So give me Mariota on that one. And then Dalton Foles. Dalton's actually got a really nice resume as a starting quarterback. Foles, when he's good, is way better than Dalton, though. Like, Dalton good is not nearly as good as Foles when he's good. So, and again, it's just one spot. Although I'd fight on the NFC West too. Russell Wilson's fantastic, but I don't believe Goff is better than Watson. I don't believe Goff is better than Luck.
Garoppolo's still hurt.
Garoppolo's not even active right now. Yeah. He's not even cleared for physical contact. Kyler Murray's a rookie. And what team are we forgetting? Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals. Why does this happen to me? Why does my brain just absolutely shut down?
No, you got
Goff.
The Rams.
Yeah, Rams. Yeah, yeah, Rams. Goff. Yeah. Give me the AFC South on that. Now, Mariota's not, I don't think Mariota's ever going to be anything special. In fact, I think this is the last year he's going to be the quarterback in Tennessee.
Two pieces of breaking news.
Two.
USA just beat France.
USA. USA. Take that, croissants.
Got them 2-1. And the Astros have placed Brad Peacock on the injured list with right shoulder discomfort.
So who the hell's pitching for this team?
I don't know.
Oh, is
they're going to have to get somebody.
Is the fellow they just brought up going to go? Cy Snead?
He might. He looks like he crawled out of a tent under 59 and walked over to the ballpark.
That is so mean.
It's not mean. He's got a homeless man beard.
That is so mean.
He has a beard that looks like it's very unkempt and unruly, and it looks like a homeless man beard.
I'm going to tell you who he looks like, and you're going to laugh. He looks like Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Dude, he so does. Oh my god.
So the starting or the pitching rotation for the Astros right now is Verlander, Cole, Wade Miley, Yukon Cornelius, and TBD. Great. Can the All-Star break get here, please? Can the All-Star break get here, please?
Well, maybe if CNL starts, then...
Oh, CNL. Okay, give me CNL.
He kind of looks like Snidely Whiplash a little bit.
Jesus. TV character after TV character. All right, the text line with some questions. First-time dad, kid will be born in 3 weeks. Give me your biggest tip for a first-time father. I don't have kids. I would just say figure it out as you go.
Yeah, read books, I guess.
Don't leave it...
ask your friends who are dads.
Don't leave it unattended. I'm having a cheat night. What's your favorite place to pig out? What's your favorite sweet treat in the city of Houston? Pig out, you got to go Chinese buffet. If you're just going to just totally blow it, go Chinese buffet.
Or if you got money to spend, go to a Brazilian steakhouse.
There you go. Sweet treat, I like ice cream, so pretty much anywhere there's ice cream. That's it. Those are the only questions that came in. That's it. You usual suspects, half of them will be back in Barry Laminack and Nick Sherrara. The other half, Joel Blank, will be gone. But I'll be back in Monday. So big thanks to everybody tuning in, listening today. Fred Fowler, AJ Hoffman, they're the Blitz. Greatest show in the known universe, I think is what Fred says.
History of the known universe.
History of the known universe. The future, we don't know. History, sure. They're next here on ESPN 97.5. I'm Cody Stutes, and I appreciate you guys. Always follow ESPN 97.5 on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, @Cody_Stutes on Twitter.